Would you pray with me? Lord, on this second Sunday in Advent, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, if you've been following along with Tim Smith's devotional this week, I think you'll find some of this to be familiar. I want to start by saying this, something that Tim did say this week, that Advent means coming. The Advent of Christ is the coming of Christ. And Tim was sort of mining that material this week and I think doing really well with it. I certainly have enjoyed what he's done and have found it a boon to my own spiritual life. I hope you will too. So Advent means coming. 2,000 years ago, in a little place, a little out-of-the-way place, a little unknown place called Bethlehem, God came to you, and God came to me, and God came to the world in that starlight. God entered our world, and he walked among us as one of us. No longer distant, no longer far away, no longer majestic, one of us. And he taught, and he loved, and he died on a cross, and he rose again. God came to us. Advent. Advent. But this is not just one of those once upon a time sort of stories. And it's not one of those one and done sort of stories. None of that. This is a story that changes. It changes you. And it changes you. And it changes you, and it changes me, and it changes the world, and it changes everything. That's how big this story is. This is the story that matters. Scripture provides image upon image of the Lord as the one who comes among us. We see it again and again from the Old Testament clear through the end of the New. God is always coming. God is always reaching. God is always saving. God is always embracing. And this truth that God comes reveals the very nature of God. Because you see, his nature is love. The author of 1 John says it himself. He says, God is love. God's nature is love, and love comes, and love gives, and love can't do anything else other than coming and giving. God is constantly, constantly coming to us, even when we don't sense it, even when we don't see him, even when we don't hear him. God is constantly coming to us, constantly working for our good, constantly looking to redeem us, to transform us. Because that's his nature. Our hope as Christians, the hope that makes all the shadows in our lives and the evil in our world lose their power, is that this story, this coming story, this Advent story remains true and that it continues. Our hope is that he comes, that he has come, that he is coming, and that he will come again. And this expectancy is key to you and to me. You see, this expectancy is the special experience of Advent. It's what makes the story matter. So let me ask you a question that I've been asking myself all week as I've prepared myself for this sermon. You see, actually, this is like so many of them. I'm actually preaching to me. I'm just letting you listen in, so I appreciate you being quiet while I do that. There's a question that seems particularly important to me this year, in this year of all years, and here's the question. Are you holding on to Advent? Are you holding on to Advent? Are you watching expectantly for him? Or is your vision shrouded by the ways of the world, like the psalmist who wrote Psalm 119, and in the middle of it says, my eyes fail with watching for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? Which side of that question are you on? Expectant or disappointed? I've been watching one of my all-time favorite movies for the umpteenth time. It's The Lord of the Rings. It's an epic Tolkien trilogy in which the power of evil in the world, all the power of evil in the world, is manifest in a particular ring. Frodo Baggins, a character who is small in stature and humble in spirit, has been charged with freeing the world by carrying this ring into the heart of the wicked Sauron's evil empire and casting it into volcanic fires that burn eternally there in Mount Doom. I told you it was an epic story, didn't I? I want to share a scene with you this morning, something a little out of the ordinary for us. And this scene takes place near the end of the second film as a terrifying battle rages between the forces of good and evil for the fortress of Osgiliath. We find Frodo and his stalwart Sam surveying the ruins of a city during a break in the fighting. When Sam begins to reflect on stories that matter and the power they hold to redeem. Let's watch this film for a couple minutes.
Great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really matter. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. The shadow, even darkness, must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? There's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting.
I show you that because I love what they say. I love what Sam says about what are we holding on to, that there's some good in this world and it's worth fighting for. And like Frodo and Sam, I think we find ourselves standing amidst the walls of a beleaguered city in our day and our age, just as Isaiah found himself amidst the walls of a beleaguered city in our text this morning. The city for Isaiah was Jerusalem. The passage comes from a section of Isaiah which comes late in his prophecies, and scholars date it to the time of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem after the return from exile. The text reflects a period of great disappointment and discouragement, of great challenge. You see, Israel lived amongst the ruins of Jerusalem. It had been destroyed by marauders before, 45 years before, to be true. And they return, and foreign overlords seize the harvest of the fields and the vineyards while the people remain in want. And local pagan marauders continually interrupt their building process as they endeavor to put the temple back together. Israel felt desolate, it felt forsaken, and it was lost in the darkness, you see. That was the story. That was the story. We sense parallels here, I think, with Advent. Israel awaited the coming of God, the fulfillment of God's promises, much as we do yet today. So what is the prophet's counsel? What's his counsel in these benighted circumstances? He calls the people to a watchful urgency. He calls them to pay attention, to be alert. He posts watchmen on the walls of the city. And he says they will be there day and night and that they will never be silent. Because their task, you see, is to constantly pray. To pray for the city, for its faithfulness, its will to endure, and to pray to God to step in and to do what only God can do. They are never silent. The text says, take no rest, give no rest. You people, take no rest, be watchful, and call on God, and don't allow him to have any rest until he's here, until he comes, until he establishes Jerusalem. Here, I think, is instruction for us, for you and for me in our Advent waiting. And here is a promise for us in that same Advent waiting, a promise that we'll see fulfilled again in just a few minutes. Let me share verses 8 and 9 with you again. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it, shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. That's exactly what we will do this morning. The Lord has provided this meal for us. The Lord has provided the grain. The Lord has provided the wine, as he promised all those years ago. And once again, we drink it. We drink it. And we remember the promises of the Lord. And we remember those promises in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. And then the prophet does one more thing. He gives them a job. He gives the people a job. He says, prepare the way for the people. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones. Raise a flag as a marker so that they can find it, so that neither obstacle nor uncertainty will mar the path of these pilgrims seeking God in the holy city. And this, you see, this raising up, preparing the way, clearing the path, this is what we do here in this sanctuary this morning. This is what those of you at home are doing in your spirits. We are preparing the way in gathering as many folks as we can in the ways that we can to worship. We are clearing the obstacles. We're clearing the uncertainty. And at the end of all this, Isaiah envisions a great payoff. Here it is. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Advent means coming, and the Lord comes, as he has come in the past, and as he will continue to come. And this whole thing is what Sam describes in this scene from The Lord of the Rings as the great story. The great story, the saving story, one that stays with you. A story, says Sam, that means something. And it's as he said. Folks in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something, says Sam to Frodo. And that something, you see, that something is called hope. As Sam says, it's a promise that even darkness must pass. If we are moving through the darkness of this season, if we are moving through the darkness of this pandemic era, there is a promise from God that this too shall pass. And there is a promise from God that he walks with us. And there is a promise from God that he comes again to be among us. So how are you doing? How are you doing this morning? Do you find yourself turning back? Do you find all of that pushing back? Do you find all of that stealing your Advent anticipation? Or are you holding on? Are you holding on to your expectations that starlit night will come again? That baby will be born again, that hope will come anew. Friends, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, as unimaginable as it may seem. He came 2,000 years ago as a baby in a manger. And he's constantly coming to us in his love, in his grace, and in his mercy. As Paul says, as the Apostle Paul says, all the promises of God are yes. Yes, in him. He comes again to bring all things to fulfillment. He speaks through Solomon in the book of Proverbs. And this is what he said. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. So here's the thing this morning. Here's what I came to say. Here's what I came to ask you. Here's what I came to encourage you. Let's cling to one another. Let's not turn back. Let's keep going through the darkness that threatens to envelop our Advent celebration. Let's hold firmly to the promise. Let's watch and let's wait, hopefully. Because you see, this is the story that really matters. And we all have a part to play in it. May the Lord bless us and keep us in our Advent waiting. Amen. So again, we come to our time of responding in commitment. You've heard the story. You've heard God's commitment. We've seen it over these 2,000 years and all of those eons that went before. We know our God. We know his love. We know his commitment. How about ours? So let's reflect on that as we listen to the music now. And let's reflect on, as Arlene said, called us to plant those seeds as part of our commitment. We need your help. We need to bolster the finances of this church. We need to put the ministries of this church on the road next year more than ever. Because we can't gather as we always have, because we can't encourage one another as we always have, we need to find new ways to be present. And those of you that have been here and those of you that are out there know that we've worked diligently at that. We've been prayerful about it, and we will continue to do that. But we need your help. We need your support. We need your pledges. So please think about that during this time of commitment. And so I want to repeat what Arlene had to say. The thanks to those of you who have already made those pledges. And I want to add my own thanks to those of you that are praying over it now. May God bless us all.